Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. Great to be together and learn Parsha's Va'era, the continuation of our new story. The curtain came down on the birth of our family. We've begun the story of the birth of our nation. We continue to grow and to be formed as a nation, to find a way to feel unity and achdus, and to be on this journey of redemption together as a nation. And the stories, the Parshas that we're reading are not only pieces and lessons of history. We're not simply recalling part of the past. It is a blueprint for the present, and this is the formula to be able to forge a future together. As we continue to navigate this galus and long for a geula, this story is the story of how. As always, we begin with gratitude. I thank our Parsha Perspective series sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz, and family in memory of David Grossman, Lila Nishmas, David Menachem Monish, Neshama Shirav and Aliyah, Shir, sponsored by the Schreier family, the upcoming yahrzeits of their parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, Maxine and Bernard Sullivan, in memory of Uncle Lester Friedman, for the Refuah Shlema of Hanya Toiba Halal Bas Yafa Fredo, should have a complete Refuah Shlema, and by Yechezkela and Yitzchak Feldman, commemoration of her mother's 47th year, it's like Miriam Matal Bas Yehuda, the Shema should have an Aliyah. And we'll also dedicate our learning. There are many Yerutzites today, notably among them. Today is the Alter Rebbe's Yerutzite. We'll try to quote some Torah from the Alter Rebbe. The Shem Yishmuel, the Sachet Shavuz Rebbe's Yerutzite, Rav Dessler's Yerutzite. They all share the same Yerutzite today. So we'll see if we get into it. Parshas Va'era, page 318 in the Art Scroll, Stone Chumash. And let's begin. Vayidaber Elokim Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. And it should and must jump out to you from the opening pasuk. Who spoke to Moshe? Elokim, the name for God of Elokim. Vayomer Elav, and what did he say? Ani Hashem, the shift from Elokim to Hashem. We know Elokim represents Midas Adin, and Hashem is Midas Achesed. Two different names or different descriptions, different aspects of Hashem. Why the shift and why the change in these names? What's going on? And then what does he reveal? And he lets Moshe know that I appeared previously to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but my name, which name? Hashem Yudke Vavke, Lo Nodati Lahem, I did not make myself known to them. Why so negative? Hashem wants to let Moshe know that he revealed previously to the Avos, but why say I held back? There's an aspect of me they didn't know. There's something they weren't exposed to. V'gama kimosi es briti itam, and I also established my covenant with them. What's going on here in these psukim? So let's start with Rav Sacks in his Chumash. Rav Sacks writes the following. He says, the Avos knew God by the four-letter name, the Lord, Yudke Vavke. It occurs 165 times in Bereishis. In an earlier comment, I am the Lord, we discussed Rashi's decoding of the pasuk. The patriarchs knew the God of promise. The Jewish people were now about to see the God who delivers on a national scale. Note that the word Yud Dalad Ayin, we mentioned this last week, that when Hashem says to know knowledge, it doesn't mean intellectual, it doesn't mean cognitive. Knowledge means an intimate connection. Knowledge is the intimacy that is the result of access, exposure, connection. Emotional intimacy is when you let someone into your inner world, when you share your fears, your dreams, your aspirations, your disappointments, your failures, when you let someone in where you don't let anyone else. When someone has access and exposure to the most private thing in you, that yields emotional intimacy. Physical intimacy, true intimacy, not just a external physical act, but an act that yields an intimacy is when it's reserved, when it's something that's not shared by the masses or by many or by any other, but when it's exclusive and it's reserved, and that knowledge, that's the biblical definition of that that Adam knew Chava, his wife, knew biblically, knew physically. It means to know in a way that nobody else knows. I mentioned last week that our world has lost that. People share and overshare. They share their bodies, they share their emotions, they share their experiences, they share their lives with no filter and nothing reserved and no boundaries. And the result is a world of people struggling and suffering from no intimacy, struggling to find emotional connection and intimacy, physical intimacy and connection that lasts. So that's true even in the intimacy with Hashem. That's what Rabbi Sacks notes, that here, lo nodati lahem, in Hebrew, does not mean to know in a purely cognitive sense. It means to have direct and immediate experience of something. Avos knew that Hashem would fulfill his promises, but they did not live to see the full realization of the covenant. In the ancient world, the idea of God who promises would not have made sense outside of Israel. the Lord is not a natural force, as in polytheism, or even the totality of natural forces. For this we have the word God. The Lord is the concept of a God who places himself under moral obligation for the future, hence a God who acts in history, who says, Eke asher eke, I will be who I will be. But Hashem told Avram, I am the Lord, in the vision in which he revealed to him that his descendants would be strangers in the land, not their own, where they would be enslaved and mistreated. The repetition of these words to Moshe here creates a vast temporal arch between Avram and Moshe, the first and last scenes of exile. And with this, Rabbi Sachs continues with another comment. We have now the Dal, the Shonos of Geula, the four expressions of redemption. We commemorate these four expressions where? The Pesach Seder, how? Four cups of wine. That commemorates the four expressions. There really is a fifth of the Hevesi. Hashem promises to bring us into Eretz Yisrael and indeed fulfilled that promise. So much so, we've spoken in the past, Rabbi Nachman Mendel Kasher's suggestion with the founding of the State of Israel, the modern state, that we introduce a fifth cup at the Seder. It was rejected because we don't yet have Geula. We don't yet have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't yet have a full Hashras HaShchina. We know we continue to suffer and struggle. It was rejected, but there is that fifth expression. But on the first four, V'hotzesi, Rabbi Sachs continues, what is revolutionary in Judaism is not simply the concept of monotheism, that the universe is not a blind clash of conflicting powers, but the result of a single creative will. It is that Hashem is involved in his creation. God is not simply the force that brought the universe into being, nor is he reached only in the private recesses of the soul. At a certain point, he intervenes in history to rescue his people from slavery and set them on the path to freedom. This is the revolution, at once political and intellectual. Judaism is the escape into history, the unique attempt to endow events with meaning, to see in the chronicles of mankind something more than a mere succession of happenings, to see history as nothing less than a drama of redemption in which the fate of a nation reflects its loyalty or otherwise to a covenant of Hashem. Some 3,300 years ago, Hashem tells Moshe he will intervene in the arena of time, not only, though primarily, to rescue the Jewish people, but also to have my name known throughout the land. The script of history will bear the mark of a hand, not human, but divine. And it begins with these words, therefore say to the Jewish people, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. Says Rabbi Sachs, and we'll see this more echoed in many of the other commentaries, including the Gerer HaShashiva of Shaul Alter Shlita and others, that the curriculum that was the Makos, these 10 plagues and the experience of taking us out of Mitzrayim, and what we will commemorate at the Pesach Seder, is not simply a piece of history, but rather it is a description and a prescription for our destiny. It is to be able to reinforce within us that Hashem didn't create a world and move on from there. He didn't set the world in motion and then move and pivot to another project. Hashem maintains and continues an intimate connection with us. The Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the author of the Kuzari. The Kuzari, he writes himself, that why? Why do the Aseres HaDibros begin that I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt? Why start? Why does Hashem introduce himself? I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. What's more impressive, that Hashem took us out of Egypt or that he created the world? Always put on the top of your resume, we're looking now for a new controller, our finance office. If you know of anyone who's excellent in accounting to manage our bookkeeper and reconcile our finances, we're in the market full-time, on campus, going to be fantastic. So we're getting resumes. That was a way, you saw what I just did there? It's called networking. I'm trying to find somebody. So if you know somebody, seriously, send them. But as we collect resumes, so if you look on the top of the resume, you launch, you start with what? Your most impressive thing. What's more impressive about Hashem, that he took us out of Egypt or created the world? By far, creating the world is the most impressive thing in all of history. More impressive than the splitting of the sea or 10 plagues, more impressive than any miracles, is creation itself. Ex nihilo, something from nothing. There's the atheist, the story of the atheist who challenged God. Big deal, you created? I could also create. So God says, okay, let's see. So he goes to Home Depot or Lowe's and he gets the ingredients and he puts them together and he builds this robot and he introduces AI and he creates a golem and he programs it to speak and to feel and to think and to act. And he says, you see God? So God looks at him and he says, get your own materials. Ex nihilo, the something from nothing. All of our creation starts from something. We build a house, we have the materials. We build a person, procreation, conception, which is a great miracle and the ultimate imitation of Hashem. He gives us the ingredients and we rely on him for the mixture of the two actually resulting in conception. But to create ex nihilo, something from nothing, we have no conception. We have no experience. We cannot imitate that, something from nothing. So wonders Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and the Kuzari. So if that's the most impressive thing that Hashem ever did, why not start with that? Why not launch? Why not have on the top of the resume, Hashem created something from nothing? Why does it create with Yetzias Mitzrayim? You know why? Because despite how old we look, despite the white hair that we have, someone complimented my wife yesterday. She deserves it. How she hasn't changed a bit in 25 years. Often that's followed up with, your husband looks much older. But you haven't changed. I don't know why that's necessary. Can't they just offer her the compliment and the other part is obvious to everybody? It doesn't need to be said out loud. So even though some of us look like we were there at creation, we weren't. We weren't. Nobody was there at creation. No one's there. So does it mean anything to us? Not necessarily, because none of us were there. And it could be God created a world, and then the same way that the painter painted the painting and moved on to the next project. Has nothing to do with you just because you own the painting or have it hanging in your home. The same way the architect or the builder, they build the building and they move on to the next project. They don't maintain a relationship. So the fact that God created a world wouldn't tell us anything about his ongoing relationship with us. What tells us? Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm the Lord your God. And the same way I took your ancestors out of Egypt, I'm going to take you out of the Egypt of your life. The exile in your life. The dark moments in your life. The feeling that the ceiling is caving in, that the walls are closing in, that you're in a constricted place, Mitzar, Mitzrayim. When you're going through your gullus, your Mitzrayim, the same way I took your grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, I took them out. I took them out of Auschwitz, and I took them out of the Inquisition, I took them out of expulsions, and I took them out of Mitzrayim, and I'm going to take you out too. That's experience that's familiar to us. That's a story that's been told to us. That's not history. What Rabbi Sacks says, history is his story. That's memory that begins with me. That's our collective memory and our collective conscience, is that our ancestors have ingrained in us those stories of having taken us out, and he's taking us out now. And therefore, the four languages of Geula, they matter. And that's what God says. To our avos, Hashem made a lot of promises. But he says, Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. I spoke to them. There was revelation. They knew me in the sense that they communed and conversed with me, but I didn't reveal myself in history. Hashem hadn't yet moved mounds of history. Only now he's telling Moshe, you're about to see, I'm about to rock Paro's world. That's a loose translation of what Hashem says. I'm about to reveal myself in unprecedented and unparalleled ways. And therefore, what I didn't reveal lahem to them, what they didn't know me in that way, you're going to get to know me. And Chevra, my dear friends, we've gotten to know Hashem. The miracles we've seen over the last 2 years, I would argue if you see them accurately. And my good friend, Rabbi Uri Pilichowski, if you didn't see his viral video, he actually enumerates and goes through the miracles of these 2 years based on intelligence sources, based on facts, not conjecture, not fantasy. He enumerates, maybe we'll post it in the WhatsApp group, our Parsha WhatsApp group, so you can see it. But he enumerates the miracles of these 2 years from the Beeper episode and countless others, which to us seem natural and sure, the Mossad and the Shabak, and to us, we give them such credit that nothing surprises us anymore, but we should see it for the miracle that it is no less miraculous than what we're reading now. And what our ancestors, the Avos, didn't get to know God in that way because they didn't see it, we are. We can know Hashem in that way. Not an intellectual cognitive knowledge, but an experiential one. He's choosing to give us access, to reveal himself, to allow us to know him in that way. The Tefer Shmur, Shmur Berenbaum, Rashi, here's a famous question. I think we may have discussed it in the past. Va'ir al Avram el Yitzchak al Yaakov. Our parsha begins that Hashem says to Moshe, I previously revealed myself to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. First of all, I could just say, El Avram Yitzchak vi Yaakov. Why? To Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. That seems unnecessary, number one. Number two, Rashi's great brilliant comment, says Rashi, in case you're confused, Va'era says Rashi, El Ha'avos. I spoke to the patriarchs, the Avos. Yeah, we know by now who Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are. Thank you, Rashi. Rashi often opens our eyes when we don't know what the Torah is talking about. It's unfamiliar. It's not. We don't understand exactly. So Rashi comes in and brilliantly offers insight, and his commentary lets us have understanding. What is Rashi getting at here? Hashem says to Moshe, I revealed myself previously to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and says, Rashi, in case you forgot, in case you're confused, in case you skipped the whole first book and went right to the sequel, Shmos, I'll just fill you in that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Avos. They're the Avos. Yeah, I got that. I know. I've been following. What is Rashi adding with those two words? Ask the Tefer Shmuel. Makshin ha'olam. This is a kasha, is a question the whole world asks. Do we not all know that already? Says Rishon Berenbaum, Shirashi Balafarish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Balachazik is Moshe Rabbeinu HaManik Shekla Yisrael. Hashem here is coming to give chizuk. He's coming to strengthen and give courage and conviction to Moshe. Klapei Masha Moshe Rabbeinu Ta'an Mitoch Anivuso. Mi Anochi Ke'elech Aparo V'chiyotis B'nei Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Moshe demurred when Hashem came to recruit Moshe to be the leader, the mouthpiece, the spokesperson. What did Moshe say? Absolutely. I always wanted to be an influencer. Will I have the most followers? Will I get free stuff in the mail? Will everybody retweet? Will I go viral? No, that's not what Moshe said. Moshe said, no, thank you. No interest. I just want to influence the world. I don't want to be an influencer of the world. He demurred, he hesitated, he was very humble and modest. Who am I to go? And how will I get them out? So that's Ulaze Amar Lakadosh Baruch Hu. Shasiata Deshmaya Shal Avram Mitzav Yaakov, Livnos is based in Israel Haya, Lorak Mitzad Gadlusam. Elegam Mitzad Shehem Hayu Ha'avos. Says Hashem to Moshe, you think Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov wanted to be influencers? No. They had the same humility and modesty. They asked the same question. Who are we? What are we? How will we? It'll never happen. But you know what? I told them, and I'm telling you, you're an Av. They were Avos. You have leadership. You are the beginning. Because they saw and accepted that leadership role, because they understood that responsibility. You know, we make the mistake of thinking, if we begin, and we rise, then we merit that Siyata Deshmaya. But it's the opposite. When we take on a role or responsibility, when we're willing to play a position, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Siyata Deshmaya. When we say, how will I, will we, I don't have the skill, I don't have the time, I don't have the resources, I can't, then you don't. But when you say, I don't think I have any of that, but if that's what the moment demands, if that's my mission, if that's my purpose, if that's what's needed, if this is where there's a vacuum I'm in, then we merit Siyata Deshmaya. Says the Tefer Shmuel, what Hashem is telling Moshe is the same way Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, who all thought that they were unworthy, inadequate, who none of them signed up to be influencers, but the moment they took the responsibility, they carried Klal Yisrael, they grabbed the achrayas of the moment, and therefore they merited, same with you. You have all these questions, mi anochi v'chiyotzi es b'nei Yisrael. Just take the responsibility and I'll be by your side and we'll get this done together. Similarly, Hashem told Moshe, you think that you're going to merit because you wonder. You keep saying, who am I? What am I? How will I? You're right. You don't and you can't and you don't deserve. But you know what? In the merit of the people that you're leading, when you take responsibility to be a manhig, whatever deficiencies or faults, whatever shortcomings you have are more than made up for by the people that you are representing and leading, by those you're taking responsibility for, in the schus, in the merit of the community, of the kihila, of klal. Therefore, Hashem gives you all kinds of kochos, all kinds of competency and power and capacity you never dreamt or you never knew or you never thought you could. Some people say, how am I going to be a mother? How am I going to be a father? Who am I? What am I? Will I succeed? I don't know, Hashem says. First of all, read books and learn and ask and go to a vod and don't just assume that you know how to do it. But also, if you bring a child into the world, says Hashem, if you're my partner in bringing someone into this world, in merit of taking that achrayas and that responsibility, you will have what you need to succeed. It's true for a Rav, a Rebbe, a teacher, a mother, a father. Don't wait and then you'll do. Start doing, and then Hashem will provide what we need in order to succeed, in order to play that role. And that, says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, is what Rashi was getting at. El Ha'avos. El Ha'avos. They weren't Avos before they started. They started and they led and they fulfilled their mission. And because of that, therefore, they became Avos. As I said, Rav Shmuel Berenbaum. There are other answers to this question. Shalot to the Gerer Rosh Hashiva says something else. El Ha'avos. See, Hashem comes to Moshe and he says, Moshe, you want to know how will you do it? Who are you to do it? I revealed myself previously to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, Moshe easily could have said to himself or to Hashem, yeah, but they're the greats. They're the goats. They're the Hall of Famers. Who am I? What am I? How do I measure up to them? What do I have to do with them? How are you reassuring me because you previously revealed yourself to them? What does that have to do with me? Comes Rashi and says, El Ha'avos. What Hashem is telling Moshe is, do you know where you come from? Do you know who you are? Do you know what DNA you have? Do you know from whom you descend? They're your avos. They're your patriarchs. These are your parents. This is what you come from. You think you don't have the resilience, the tenacity, the conviction? You don't have what it takes to be this leader, to rise to this moment? I revealed myself previously to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they are not. They're not random people of history. They're not just people who are part of a past. They're your avos. They're where you come from. They're who you are. They're what's in your kishkas. You have this in you too. And that's El Ha'avos. Says of Shaul Alter, El Ha'avos. Moshe, don't think these are just three greats, but they have nothing to do with you. These are three greats, and they're inside you. The Sfas Emes says, every day when we daven, three times a day, Magen Avraham, Hashem, you shield Avram. It doesn't just mean you protected Avram in the past. It means you protect the Avram in me, that when I doubt myself, when I feel uncertain, when I feel unworthy, when I feel insecure, I remember Magen Avram, that Hashem, you preserve an Avram in me. I have that courage and conviction. I have that capacity. I have an Avram in me. That's my DNA. That's from whom I descend. That's where I come from. That's who I am. And that's what Rashi meant, El Ha'avos. Rav Meir Premishlan has another answer. Number three, says Rav Meir Premishlan, what is El Ha'avos? What is Rashi adding, El Ha'avos? We know who Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are by now. We quoted the Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, we quoted the Ger Rosh Hashiva, and now Rav Meir Premishlan. Says Rav Meir Premishlan, El Ha'avos means the following. Yitzchak might have thought, you know what? My father Avram was so great. Who am I and what am I? What will I add to him? I'm just a role player. He's an Av and I'm a Ben. He's a father, I'm a child. He's an Av, and in the world of Hilchos Shabbos, in the world of Nezikin, you'd say, he's an Av and I'm a Tolda. He's primary and I'm secondary. He's the core and I'm an offshoot. He's the father and I'm a child. He's the great one, and I, Yeridus Aderos, I am by definition, I am less. But Yitzchak didn't say that. Avram was an Av, and Yitzchak says, I'm an Av, and Yaakov says, I'm an Av. Ela Avos in plural. Avram introduces Chesed, and Yitzchak introduces Avoda, and Yaakov introduces Emes and Torah. And none of them said, I can't measure up to who came before, I'll just see myself as a tolda, as a ben, as an offshoot, as a child. Each said, I'm an Av. I can introduce. I can initiate. I can contribute. I have something. And that's why it's El Avram, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, even though it would have been more concise to say El Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why? Because each separate and apart, certainly they shared a relationship with Hashem, but simultaneously, they forged their own destiny. They forged their own path. They made their own difference in their own way. Avram and Yitzchak also made his own difference, and Yaakov made his own difference. And that's what Hashem is telling Moshe, make your difference. El Ha'avos. And every one of us, I said under a chuppah, I spoke under a chuppah on Sunday, and I said both this Rav Shaul Alter and the Rav Meir Premishlan, and I said to the Chassan and Kala, and I say to all of you and all of us, whatever stage or age of life, that combination means we see ourselves as both. First of all, El Ha'avos, know where we come from. If we doubt ourselves, know Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not just Hall of Famers that we study about in the past. They are inside all of us. It's who we come from. It's what we have inside us. But lest we only think that we're offspring, lest we only think that we're offshoots, El Ha'avos also means that we are progenitors of the next generation, that we are the Avos of the Toldos who will follow us, that we have what to add and contribute and who to be the Avos of who will come after us as well. Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin. Moving right along, we have the four expressions of Geula, the four cups of wine that correspond. Women too, we said last week, Afen Ayuba Oso Hanes. Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin. V'lakachti eschem li la'am, I will take them from me as a nation. V'ayisi lachem l'lokim, I'll be a God to them. V'idatem, ki ani Hashem l'lokecham, motzi eschem mitach ha'sivlos Mitzrayim. And they will know, you should know, I am the Lord your God, who hamotzi. What tense is hamotzi? Who takes you out. And why is it takes you out in the present? Because it's true today. In our own Egypt, in our own exile, he took us out in the past and he's taking us out today. Mitachas from under, sivlos Mitzrayim, from under the sivlos Mitzrayim, from underneath the burdens of Mitzrayim. We've shared in the past, sivlos, a beautiful Meshach Chochma. Sivlos is from the language of savlanut. Savlanut. Sivlos means suffering, and it's the same word as patience. Why? Because to show patience is to be willing to suffer. I can endure the suffering, the sufferance that is patience. I can't, which is why I'm not going to Orlando for Yeshiva Week. But those who can suffer on those long lines. And that suffering, I can't endure it. And that's why I don't go. But the suffering, savlanut. So the Meshach Chachma says, mitachas sivlos means Hashem is going to take you out from under the burden, from under the suffering. And the way to do that is because you need to grow impatient. We have been too patient for too long for things we should be impatient about. And that's what Hashem says. Stop being patient for the things you should be impatient about. Martin Luther King, I think, Day is coming up. He said in one of his famous speeches that we have to become maladjusted. Never be adjusted. He said it then against about racism. We say it today about anti-Semitism. No matter what's happening in the world around us, don't adjust. Remain maladjusted. Don't become patient. Be impatient for injustice. That's savlanut. But I want to share with you a different svasemis, a heliges svasemis. The Torah tells us later in Sefer Dvarim that we have an obligation to remember, tizkor, remember the day we left Egypt, all the days of our lives. Why? Why does so much center around our leaving Egypt? All the holidays center around leaving Egypt. Every day, Shema centers around leaving Egypt. Shabbos, one of the two primary themes of Shabbos is Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kiddush. Every part of davening, every part of Shabbos is that we left. What's this obsession with leaving Egypt? Okay, we got it. It was impressive. Move on. Why are we so obsessed with leaving Egypt? So obsessed. So one answer that's given is Hakaras HaTov, gratitude. Because we're never done saying thank you. If you think when you said thank you, you discharged your debt of gratitude. You fulfilled your obligation and you're done. That wasn't real gratitude. A real gratitude is endless and boundless. If someone saved your life, you had a heart attack, you were saved from a burning car, someone rescued you, saved your life, would not every single time you saw them for the rest of your life, you say, and by the way, I just want to thank you again. I just want to thank you again. You wouldn't be like, I thanked you once. I said thank you once. I wrote you a card. Give you a bottle of wine. Leave me alone. Why do I have to bring it up again? If somebody did a CPR and saved your life, if someone rescued you from a dire circumstance, every time you saw them for the rest of your life, you'd say thank you. So we are still saying thank you to Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. That's one approach. That's the approach of the Haggadah. A second approach was taken by the Gerer Rebbe, the Heliges Svasemis. And he says, we're not just trying to recall cognitively, intellectually, a piece of history. We're trying to internalize it. We're trying to live it and to feel it inside us. Listen to what the Svasemis writes. Amazing. Va'era Tafresh Lamed Dalad. This is what the Svasemis writes. He says, Ve'otzesi,
the
The word that repeats itself over and over and over again is God says, you know why I'm doing all this? And you know why I'm doing it so dramatically? You know why I'm doing it with such pomp and circumstance? You know why I'm doing it in this way? Because I want you to know. Vidatem. Viyada. Viyeda. I want you to know. I want Paro to know. I want the Egyptians to know. I want the world to know. And we just said, what is knowledge? Knowledge is not what you see in a book. Knowledge is what you experience in your heart, in your life. Knowledge is what you feel. Knowledge is what you went through. Knowledge is the intimate experience. Says Hashem, I'm doing it so dramatically. I'm doing it so extraordinarily, so supernaturally. So there is no doubt whatsoever, not a shadow of doubt. I'm involved in your life. I know what's going on. I'm intimately connected. I care. And nothing that happens is random or chance. It is all carefully curated and choreographed from above. All of Hashem's plan. What do you think? He's flexing? He's showing off? No. He wants us to know. Asher Hotzi, son of Misham. He took us out. Va'emes, right? Sosfas emes. Ki b'chol eis yesh Mitzrayim l'chol ish Yisrael. For all of us, there are moments of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. Lachen maskirim b'chol yom yitzias Mitzrayim. Every day when we're down and out, helpless and hopeless, when we're despondent and depressed, every time we think we want to give up, Hashem says, remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Remember I took you out. Remember it's never hopeless or helpless. Never give up. I don't give up. I'm here and I'm there for you. I didn't build a world and move on, and I didn't bring you into this world and pull back. I'm aware of, I'm involved in, and I care intimately and deeply about everything in your life. I took them out then and I can take you out now. Wukafi Masha. And the more we know and remember, the more we live and feel that He is and can take us out, the less we are in that place of constriction. It's when we forget. It's when we start to believe the hype. It's when we start to think, I'm independent. I'm apart. I take care of myself. I take credit. God, who? I don't need Him. It's my ingenuity, my entrepreneurship, my hard work, my effort, my success. When we forget, that's when Hashem says, oh, really? It's all about you. You think you exist on your own? You think you're independent? You think you came to be without me? You think you can have anything without my partnership? It's time to remind you. It's time to put you back in Mitzrayim. It's time to put you in a Meitzar. So that first historic leaving Egypt became the precedent in perpetuity, forever, for all of us to look back to and turn back to inspire and remind ourselves that wherever we are and whatever we're going through, He took us out then, He could take us out now. The more that we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, the more we don't need to go through our own Yitzias Mitzrayim. The more that we invoke it, the more that we're involved in it, the more that we remember it and relive it, the less we need to go through it again. Hashem Yisbarach Tziv L'Hagad Zeh L'Vnei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. And Hashem said, tell them this in Egypt. Because they're crying out from the pain. And then you should know what's going to happen afterwards. All of this is in the beautiful, beautiful Sfas Emes. That the word Mitzrayim comes from the word for straight, for narrow place, Meitzar, which is also the same root, Tzar, pain. Sfas Emes says everybody has their Mitzrayim moments. I'm taking you out. Rav Asher Weiss, Morav Rabbi Rav Asher Weiss, quotes beautiful insight from the Holy Rabshitzer of Naftali Tzvi Horowitz of Rabshitz. The Rabshitzer says, we say in Shabbos Kiddush, we say the words, Mikrai Kodesh, Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mikrai Kodesh, Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Rabshitzer, that the memory of Yitzias Mitzrayim calls us to holiness. How do we get out of Egypt and get into a place of holiness? L'mikrei Kodesh, Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. The way to get to a holy place is to always remember who took us out. That we don't live on our own, we're not independent. There's a Hashem, He's involved in our life. We love Him, we care about Him, we feel Him, we turn to Him, we surrender and submit to Him. And the more that we know that and feel that, L'mikrei Kodesh, the path to Mikrei Kodesh, the way to holiness is Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember the Yitzias Mitzrayim, to get out of. And my friend, Rabbi Goldscheider, in his beautiful Sefer Torah United, quotes this, and then he adds on about the Alter Rebbe, whose Yahrzeit is today. The Lubavitch Rebbe once shared an anecdote of Habrengen, and he said the following about what it means to taste Hashem, the idea that when we get out of our own Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can feel the presence of Hashem tangibly. When the teachings of Hasidus were first being heard throughout Russia and Latvia, the Alter Rebbe, Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Baal Tanya, once passed through the city of Shklov. Shklov was then famous for its antagonism to Hasidus and for the rigorous hold exerted by the Misnagdim over the entire city. The Alter Rebbe entered the city and directed his steps to the main shul. He went to the Bima and in a singular melodious tune translated a pasuk from Tehillim into Yiddish. Why did I lose? Sorry. He said, Tamu ru'u ki tov Hashem. This was my Babi, Aleha Shalom's favorite pasuk. Even at the end of her life, lying in her hospital bed, Tamu ru'u ki tov Hashem. Taste and you will see that a God is good. These soothing words have emanated from his pure, truthful heart, pierced the hearts of his listeners. Scores of young people ran after him. They began to learn the teachings of Hasidus. Soon they became prominent personalities in the Hasidic community. The Alter Rebbe expressed a profound idea in a simple, uncomplicated way. One can taste, intimately feel God's presence. That's what it means. V'yidatem, to know, is to taste God's presence. Not academic, not intellectual, not conceptual, not distant and apart, but to know. Tamu ure'u. Taste and you will see. Experience Hashem. Talk to Him. Feel Him. Lean on Him. Rely on Him. Experience Him. Taste and you will see that Hashem is good. That's why we're reading these parshios and psukim. That's what this is all about. It's getting out of our own Mitzrayim. It's finding our own way in this story. Perek Vav Pasuk Chav Vav. Moving right along. Moshe demurs, the mission and its benefits. Moshe tries to get out of it again. Who am I? Lo ish dvarim anochi. Kvad pek, kvad lashon. Aras fasayim, ech yishma elai paro. The people couldn't listen. How will Paro listen? Kal v'chomer. Even though it's not really a good Kal v'chomer. Why did the people not listen? Why did the people not listen? The Torah tells us. Mikotza ruach ha-me'avada kasha. You know why they didn't listen? They were overwhelmed by the work. Rashi says kotza ruach means shortness of breath. When someone's out of breath, they can't hear. Someone's running and racing and caught up in the hamster wheel of life, and they're out of breath and they have no margin, no space. They can't think. What are you going to come paint a picture of the life they could have? They could barely survive. They're treading water just to stay above, just to breathe. And you're going to come paint a picture, give them a vision of what could be? Says Rashi, you know why they couldn't hear? Kotze ruach, they couldn't breathe. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, kotze ruach doesn't mean they couldn't breathe. Ruach doesn't mean breath, as in the ability physically to breathe. Kotze ruach means they had no vision. They were so down and out. You go to somebody and you say, you know, just take control of your life. Come, let's go for a walk every day. Let's take on your health and wellness. Let's take on your emotional well-being. Let's study Torah. And they say, ah, it's all far foul and it's too late for me. It's never going to happen. It can never change. Nothing good's going to come of it. They have no ruach. There's no breath to their vision. They can't see. They can't imagine. They can't dream. Because when there's so much noise and we're so overwhelmed and there feels like there's so much work, then how can we breathe? How could we have a vision? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Paro understood that. You know who else understands that? This world. The technology overwhelms us. There is constant noise, relentless information, noise, activity. We don't have time to think. And when you can't think, you can't dream, you can't picture, you don't have a vision of who you could be. You don't know how you're going to get there. So when we're addicted and when we're obsessed and we're consumed and when there's noise always being pumped into our lives, our heads, we can't dream, we have no vision. Kotze ruach. So the people had a very good reason why they couldn't hear. Could you imagine Moshe comes and he says to them, I know you're suffering, I know you're persecuted, but I have good news. Hashem sent me. Ot, almost, we're getting out. And they say, get lost. We don't have time for you. We got bricks we got to make. Get lost. He goes back to Hashem, he says, I tried, what could I do? So now Hashem says, okay, I'll tell you what, go to Paro and tell him to let them out. He says, the people won't listen to me. Certainly Paro's not going to listen to me. And Rashi quotes, this is one of the Kal V'chomers in the Torah. Kal V'chomer means in Efiorti, I think, whatever the Latin is in the Sansino translation of the Gemara. How do you translate Kal V'chomer not in Latin? If this, then certainly that. It's one of the arguments of logic. If this, certainly that, kal v'chomer. So the world asks, what kind of kal v'chomer is that? The people didn't listen. Why? Because they were suffering. Avodah kasha, kotzer ruach, avodah kasha. They couldn't breathe and they were hard worked. Paro's sitting back in the lap of luxury of the palace. He should listen. So they feel like it's a pircha in the kal v'chomer. It's a kasha. It's a question. It's a question. I'll leave it for you as a question. But moving along. So perek chavav, pasuk chavav. So what happens now? We give the lineage. It's time for the two stars to rise. Moshe and Aaron, the mouthpiece spokespeople of Hashem, it's time for them to bang down the door of the palace and come and make that famous demand to Paro, let my people go. So first we remind everyone who they are, where they come from, what is their lineage, and it concludes, who Aaron and Moshe, Asher Amar Shalahem, Otzias Ben Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim, Otzivosam. We're on page 322, chapter 6, verse 26. Says Pasuk Chavav, this was Aaron and Moshe to whom Hashem said, take the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their legions. Says Rabbi Sachs, Aaron and Moshe, the names are given here in the chronological order. Aaron, who's older? Aaron, by how much? 3 years. Aaron's 3 years older. How old is Aaron here? 83. Moshe's 80, Aaron's 83. If you're in your 80s, no, you're just getting started on your mission. I'm dead serious. If you're in your 80s or approaching it, no, you're not retired. You may be retired from your profession, but you're just getting started in your calling, in your mission. Because this is the beginning of Aaron and Moshe on their mission, and there's so much redemption the world needs. There's so much leadership the world needs. And the same way Aaron and Moshe's leadership first got started at 80 and 83, your leadership, what we need, could first be getting started at 80 or 83. You're allowed to also if you're, 38. You don't have to wait till 83. But know and find chizuk in the fact that Aaron and Moshe are 80 and 83. You could just be getting started at 80 and 83. So here the Torah is giving the names in what order? Chronological. As opposed to their leadership positions, where they're given in what order? Moshe and Aaron. Sometimes Moshe Aaron, sometimes Aaron Moshe. Then it's Siv. Rav Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, then it's Siv suggests that in this pasuk, which speaks about the Jewish people, Aaron takes priority. Why? He is more well known and beloved by the people. Aaron is more of a people person than Moshe. Moshe is the leader from a distance. Aaron is the peacemaker. Aaron knows the people. Aaron gives the hug after minyan. Aaron knows everybody by name. Aaron makes peace between the people. And Moshe is this academic, this giant, this great. Moshe, who spent much of his life in the Egyptian palace and in Midian. So Moshe is relatively unknown to them. The next pasuk, however, look at the next pasuk, is when they come to Paro. So when it's talking about speaking to the Jewish people, the pasuk says, Chavav, who Aaron and Moshe? When it comes to the next pasuk, Heima medabrim aparo, who Moshe v'Aaron? So points out Rabbi Sachs, quoting the Netziv, when it's speaking to the people, who Aaron and Moshe? Because Aaron's more familiar, Aaron's more beloved. When it comes to speaking to Paran, who goes first? Who? Moshe v'Aaron. Because here, Moshe takes precedence. He is well known to the court and respected for his Egyptian ways. Chazal, cited by Rashi, comment the Torah is emphasizing, both brothers were equal in their worthiness, in their stature, in their rank. This again signals the end of the sibling rivalry that preoccupied much of the book of Bereishis. It's an incredible moment. Who Moshe v'Aaron, who Aaron v'Moshe. Two brothers, separated by 3 years, who each have their own greatness. Moshe is the greater leader of the people. Aaron is the priest, the Kohen, and Moshe really wanted to be the Kohen. And you know what? They're not jealous, and they're not envious, and they're not resentful, and they have no rivalry. All there is love and happiness and excitement for one another. One of the things we didn't get to last week's Pasha is Beracha v'samach belibo. Last week's Parsha, it says that Aaron will be happy for Moshe. Moshe is happy for Aaron. They have this incredible capacity to feel Nosei Ba'olam Chavero. We usually translate Nosei Ba'olam Chavero is to feel empathy when someone's going through something bad. But there's a Jewish concept, almost uniquely Jewish. I say that because it has a Yiddish word that doesn't appear in any other language, Tefargin, which modern Hebrew has Lefargin. What does it mean to fargin? Lefargin? It's to be happy for someone. To be happy. The Alter of Kelm points out, is it easier to feel sad and feel the pain with someone or to be happy with someone? The Alter of Kelm writes, it's easier to feel the pain with someone. You know why? Because when someone's suffering, when someone's going through something hard, you say, I'll make a meal. I'll say Tehillim. I'll cry with them. I feel bad for them. You know why? I'm just thankful it's not me. Thank God it's not me. I feel so bad for them. I'll feel for them and with them. But when someone goes through a good time, when someone has a simcha, a bracha, nachas, success, you say, why isn't it me? Why isn't it me? It's harder to be happy for them because you say, why isn't it me? But the same way there's a concept, no say ba'ol im chavero, to carry the burden with a friend, to feel the pain of a friend, there's a concept of to fargin, to be happy for someone, to be joyous, to dance with them like it's your simcha. Moshe and Aaron are the ones who introduced that concept. And here, the rivalry of Sefer Bereishis, Moshe and Aaron demonstrate, they continue what Ephraim and Manasseh had, which is brotherly love and the capacity to not be jealous or envious, to not have a rivalry, but to be able to feel a happiness. How could Rashi say, who Aaron and Moshe, who Moshe and Aaron? We switch the order because they're equal in greatness, that they're equal. How are they equal? The Rambam Yigomel Likarim, in Maimonides' 13 principles of faith, one of the principles of faith is to know that there's nobody as great as Moshe. How can you say they're equal? We've mentioned this in the past. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, equal doesn't mean they're on the equal level. Equal means each achieved their potential. We all have different and separate potentials, and Moshe had the greatest potential of any human being. Aaron was equal to him in that he fulfilled his potential as much as Moshe. And we need to know that we are role players and we each have different roles and the roles are equal. One perhaps is more prominent and one is more quieter and behind the scenes, but they're equal roles as long as each is equally fulfilling who they're meant to be, what they're meant to be. Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes Vav. We got to move a little quicker to cover a little bit more ground. Page 326, because as always, we're running out of time. Lecha Paro. Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro, Baboker in the morning. Where will you find him? He's out by the river. Which river? The Jordan, the Yarden. Be waiting for him there on the bank of the river. And that staff that you had turned into a snake, take it with you. Bring it, carry it in your hand. Says the Tiferes Shmuel, quoting Rashi. Why is Moshe meant to go find him near the river? Why is Paro at the river? Why is that where he's going to find him? Why is he at the river? Because Paro sees himself and wants to practice himself that he is a deity. Paro acts like he's a god, he's a deity. And that's what he convinces the Egyptians. Worship me, I'm powerful, I'm great, I'm God's gift to the world. So instead of having a bathroom in the palace, he sneaks out to the river to relieve himself so no one will know that what he's human. Because what is the great equalizer of all of humanity? I don't care who you are. And I don't care if you are the leader of Dubai and you go on a golden toilet, but you need a toilet. It doesn't matter who you are. The great equalizer of all humanity is that you got to go when you got to go. When nature is calling, God is calling to remind you that you're human. So Paro thinks that he can pull the wool over the Egyptians' eyes. I'm a god. And God says, no, you're not. Because gods don't have to go and you've got to go. So he goes to the river and says Rashi, Linikavav, Shayosa Atzmo Eloha, he'd wake up before anyone else was up and he'd go to the river where no one would see. And there was before satellite imagery and cameras and paparazzi and stalkers, and he would take care of his business. Sorach Ian, wonders of Shmuel Berenbaum, listen to this insight. Okay, is God not going to punish Paro enough with these 10 plagues? Blood and frogs and everything. He's got to really humiliate him and embarrass him. He's got to go catch him at the river, relieving himself. V'lo chila kavod l'malchus? Can't Moshe at least approach, if not Paro the person, but the position with dignity and honor and respect? Leilei chilav l'paltin. Go set up a meeting in the palace like a proper person. Kederecha nifkashim im mlachim. Just like those who meet with a king, go set up a proper meeting in the palace. You got to go meet him and find him in a place where you could humiliate him and embarrass him. The Yesh Lomar says, Shmuel Berenbaum, Kevan Shem Moshe Rabbeinu Ba'al HaShas Amunah B'Mitzrayim Hayitzarech Leilech Tchila V'Lakor Shor Shakfir Shem Mitzrayim Shua Nilus. Before he was going to plant the seeds of faith and belief in Mitzrayim, He first had to uproot the doubt and uncertainty, the idolatry and the heresy of the Nile River. The Nile was the source of idolatry of the Egyptians. They all believed in it. They all turned to it. They all sought to be blessed by it. How would he do that? By going and exposing that Paro exposes himself and relieves himself in the Nile. When I saw this comment this morning, I thought to myself, is this not exactly what we need to do right now? The way to confront our enemies is to delegitimize the delegitimizers. Moshe goes to the Nile because step one, before even bringing the first plague, step one is delegitimize the delegitimizers. Reveal, expose, pull the cover off of, and show who these people are, the grifters and the gripers. Show who these people are and why they're doing what they're doing. Delegitimize the delegitimizers. Rav Shmuel Berenbaum didn't have that language because he didn't need it then. But we have it now, and that's our mission and purpose now, and that's essentially what he's answering. The reason he had to go to the Nile was, if the Nile was the place of idolatry, I'm just asking questions. Paro's at the Nile saying, I'm just asking questions. You know, delegitimize the delegitimizers, go to the place where that heresy is happening to begin with. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Koma Hashem bezos teidaki ani Hashem. With this, you will, again, what word does Hashem say? With this plague, the first plague now, the plague of blood, you will teida, you will know, I am Hashem. Hino anochi makeh b'mateh shebiyadi, v'adag hashem ba'or, v'nil mitzvah v'shos min ha'yor. This is all that's going to happen. You'll know. I'm turning it into blood. Says Rabbi Sachs about these plagues. You know what? Actually, I'm skipping this. The three aims. Look for yourself. Page 425. Rabbi Sachs has a beautiful idea. The curriculum of the Makos. The Makos aren't just random 10. He doesn't say this outright. Maybe he does. I don't think he does. You know when you come to the Pesach Seder and you sing the Makos 10, Makos, Makos 10, and you dip your finger in the wine, you take it out, you get your props and your toys, you wake the kids back up. This is the exciting part. And then afterwards, say, Rabbi Yehuda, no sein bahem simonim. Rabbi Yehuda, he divided the plagues into three. He divided into three. He gave acronyms and divided into three. Okay. What did he add? The fact that you could take the 10 plagues and divide them into three, and divide them into three in such a way you could give them an acronym, what was he adding? What was he saying? We have Rabbi Sachs Chumash in the back in the bookcase, page 425. Look inside and you'll see he outlines that there was a curriculum, three aims. There were three classes, three lessons that Moshe, Hashem through Moshe, was trying to teach Paro, by extension the Egyptian people, and by the extension all of us. And they can be grouped into three things. Three of them are given at the river. Three of them are given in the palace. You'll see exactly the way they're grouped. And that's what this was a reference for. And that's what he was showing him. And look at it on your own. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Sorry, little teaser there. Top page 328. If you listen to nothing else today, I want you to hear this. Because this is what Parshas Va'era all about. This is what these first few Parshas of Shmos are all about. And Chevra, this is what our lives are all about. The necromancers of Egypt, Paro's magicians, did the same thing by means of their incantations. So Paro's heart was strong, and he didn't listen. And Hashem had spoken. What did he do? He turned away and he just went home. He went back to the palace. Why? Lo shas libo gam lazos. Translate those words. Third line, page 329. He did not take this to heart either. Lo shas libo. He didn't place his heart. He didn't take to heart. He didn't listen. He didn't care. He didn't heed. Velo shas libo. He turned around and he went straight home. Why did he go home, by the way? In his Ish Tamid, Rav Druk says, Vayavo el beiso. Who cares? Why does it need to tell us he went home? Just tell us his magicians imitated what Moshe and Aaron had done. Therefore, he didn't heed the message. He went home? Okay, that doesn't seem so relevant, so necessary. Says Rav Druk, you know what it's telling us? He quotes a Meshech Chachma, beautiful Meshech Chachma. The Makkah of Dam, the plague of blood, did not impact the palace. It impacted outside the palace. But the flow of water, or the bodies of water, the vessels of water inside the palace were not affected as blood. Why not? This is a theme we saw with other Makos. Why not? Who grew up in the palace? Moshe. So in gratitude to the palace for having hosted Moshe, it wasn't impacted by the plague of blood. Good. That's a medrash, that we know. Says the Meshech Chachma, now we understand the significance of the Torah telling us, Vayavo Abeso, that Para went home. When Moshe, who grew up in the palace, saw the suffering of his people, where did he go? Liros Besivlo Sam, he leaves the palace to be with his people, because he can't bear that they're going to suffer and he won't be with them. Paro, in contradistinction, sees the people suffering, and where does he go? Into the protection and security of the palace. Exactly the opposite of Moshe. Moshe, Vayar Besivlo Sam. Moshe leaves the palace to go empathize, sympathize, feel the pain and the suffering of his people. Paro leaves the suffering and pain of his people to go hide in the protection of the palace. That's why the Torah is filling us in, Vayava Abeso, to draw that contrast, to tell us the difference between Paro and Moshe. Rav Druk, the same Rav Druk, in his next Sefer, Lavoseish, also says, what's going on here in this pasuk? Veloshas libo, and he quotes Rav Yerucham. Rav Yerucham says, Loshas libo, Paro lo sam lev, velo hisbonein. Paro didn't see the bigger picture. Paro said, okay, the beeper episode, they pulled it off. It was technology, they had a big idea, somehow they got it done, they all these coincidences. When a person doesn't zoom out the lens and look at the big picture and contemplate and think and meditate and focus and analyze and absorb, then they miss the big picture. Here, a plague fell on Paro's head and on his house, and instead of getting the message, Lo shas libo. The message we in our lives, what we're meant to live, the way we're meant to live, the whole parsha of Va'era and next week's parsha Bo, the 10 plagues altogether were a curriculum in V'yadata ki ani Hashem. Hashem says, you don't know. It's interesting, by the way. Last week's parsha, we spoke about it. Vayaka melech chadash, there was a no paro, asher lo yadas Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. He didn't continue to feel gratitude to Yosef. And the commentaries say, it began with not knowing Yosef, and that led to not knowing God. In fact, when Moshe and Aaron first knock on the door of the palace, they say, Shalom Aleichem, we're here on behalf of God. We're not here to collect money. We're just here to collect our people. And let the people go. And Paro says, I'm sorry, who are you? Do you have a laminated card? Are you endorsed? Does it say where you're from? Who are you? And they say, we're here on behalf of the God Almighty, Hashem Elokim. And Paro says, Anochi lo yadati Hashem. I don't know God. I don't know God. Paro says, you don't know me? Let me introduce myself. Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arov. God says, let me introduce myself. And if you look at that comment by Rabbi Sachs, you'll see it's a three-part curriculum in how you can get to know me. First, I created the world. Second, I continue to interact with the world. I interact through nature, through history. Read and you'll see what is that curriculum that he's teaching. That's why the emphasis is over and over again. That word, know. Oh, Paro, you don't know? The Egyptian people, you don't know. The Jewish people, you have no margin and no space. You can't think to get to know me. Let me introduce myself to the world. To the world. And that's what's going on over here. And Paro doesn't pick up on the message. Why? Lo shas libo gam lazos. He's not picking up the message. He's not paying attention. He's not thinking. He's not feeling. Later in Sefer Dvarim, we say it every day in Aleinu, v'yadata hayom v'hashevosa elavavecha. Hashem says, I gave you the Torah and I appear to you and I reveal myself to you. Why? So that you can know today. Know me. Know me. To know is to have an intimate, ongoing connection and relationship. So let me finish with this. A beautiful Rav Shaul Alter. Let me finish with this. That's for this repetition. Hashem says, Leman teida ki ein kashem elokeinu. The frogs. There's 7 of the 10 makos appear in our parsha. 7 of the 10. But the aliyos are not broken up by the makos. Instead, they each stop and end. If you look, pay careful attention, as you do Shnai Mikra this week, and I'll make another plug for the Florida campaign for Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum, reviewing the Parsha twice every week with Unklus or Rashi. And if you sign up on this new campaign, you join the WhatsApp group, they'll send you for free, ears just perked up, they'll send you for free a copy of Art Scroll's new Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum Chumash, with the logo of the Free State of Florida on the cover. So sign up and you get that beautiful free Shnai Mikra Chumash. So if you look, as you're doing Shnai Mikra, or wait till this Shabbos and listen carefully, that the Alios are not broken up by the Makos. They each stop and end with a lesson. Frogs ends with the word, Laman Teda Ki Ein Kehashem Elokeinu. So you know there's none like God. Kinim ends, Vayomer Achartim Em Para Etzba Elokimi, Vechazak Lei Paro V'lo Shema Alem Kasher Diber Hashem. The magician priest said to Paro, this is the finger of God, but Paro's heart stiffened and he wouldn't heed. Dever ends, Laman Saper Shemi B'chol Ha'aretz, in order that my fame resound throughout the world. Says the Ger Rashi Vershal Otter Shlita, we end each aliyah on the thought, so it gets etched into our consciousness. It's embedded in our heart and mind. This is how we read the story. These aren't natural occurrences. These aren't ordinary events. These aren't headlines and news reports and alerts. Each one is Hashem showing his hand. So every aliyah ends with, and God made himself know, so that you will know, so that it will spread, so that you will see. That's the reason he did this. And Paro fails, and he fails miserably. And it's exactly where he goes wrong. The parsha itself ends off, Paro's heart became hard. He was callous and distracted and disconnected. How does the parsha end? Vayechazak leiv Paro v'lo shilachas b'nei Yisrael. Paro's heart was hard, was stiffened, and he didn't let the people go, just as Hashem told Moshe. And that's what's happening around us. It's easy to live and look around and say, it's happening in Iran, and we don't know. In the Parsha class itself, maybe the regime fell. Every day we wake up and the world is changing. And what it takes for it to happen, all the things and variables that have to come together, and you can look at it and you can read it and you can get the headlines and say, chance, random, coincidence, it's the effort of people, the American military who captured Maduro, the Israeli brilliance and genius, it's the Americans and Israelis who probably are helping the end of the regime fall. Or you can and should do what Paro didn't and missed out on, which is to see the hand of Hashem. He is allowing and inviting us to intimately know him through the world events that are unfolding. And much of, if not most of my life, was ordinary. You went to school, you went to work, you lived life. We're living extraordinary times where every day, every week, every month of these last couple of years, Hashem is inviting us to see his hand in the unfolding of history. Don't be like Paro and fail to pick up on the message. Don't fail v'lo shas libo. Don't not put your heart, don't not pay attention. See it. We say every morning in our davening, la'olam ye'adam yereshamayim b'seisur v'galoi, person should always be fear of God privately and openly, publicly, admit the truth. Why does it say la'olam? Just say, yehe adam yirei shamayim b'seisur v'galoi. Why do we start li'olam? Says Rav Shaul Alter, the Gerei Rosh Hashiva, because one can never rely only on the inspiration from yesterday. La'olam means every day find inspiration. Every day search and seek the hand of Hashem. Every day. La'olam yehe adam. Every day be a person of Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Hashem, and search and feel and see, and you will find Hashem. Vayifen Paro lo shas libo. He failed to see. And that's his Rabbi Yerucham. He says, Paro's mistake and failure, and for too many of us, ours as well, is all captured in those three words. Velo shas libo. He didn't pay attention. Pay attention. Be contemplative. Be thoughtful. Look, interpret, seek, understand. Pay attention. Be somebody who shas libo. La'olam, see his hand. We're out of time. We'll pick up with next week. Anything more to announce? Shiur Moran for the next couple weeks. If you're here for Yeshiva Week, or you're coming down for Yeshiva Week, BRS is your home. Minyanim, B'Shaila Cafe, Beis Medrash, Wi-Fi, Slushies and Pastries, Parsha Class, Amuna, Tanya, and more. Till next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and stay holy.